Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Casey Wurst. Soils across the world are not the same. Climate, terrain, rocks, plants, and human influence all impact soil type and quality. In the African country of Malawi, there is not a lot of vegetation, and organic matter in the soil is quickly broken down. The result is degraded soil with poor fertility. This poor soil means many farmers in Malawi have to adopt innovative methods to increase production on their small farms. Chuembo Gwenambira, a doctoral student in the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences at Michigan State University, studies how to grow pigeon pea at the same time and place as groundnuts, soybean, and maize. She is working with farmers in innovative projects called mother and baby trials, where multiple farmers observe an original test field and then adopt the practices they think could work well for them. Her research could improve food production, especially for small farmers in developing countries. She spoke with Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix.
Thank you very much for your time, and we're happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Ali. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why is that the soil across the world are not the same?
Because you have different ways in which soils are formed. Some soils could be formed from, for example, glaciers. Some could be from rocks. Sometimes you have soils that are older than other types of soils. And in other places too, the land has been inhabited for quite a long time than in other places. So for example, in Africa, you find out that most African countries, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, the soils are very old. Most of them are quite depleted in the most essential nutrients for plant growth, such as nitrogen.
What are the other nutrients?
So some of the nutrients you need are like phosphorus and potassium, as well as other micronutrients such as calcium, magnesium.
So how is the soil in Malawi?
I'm working in the central region, but in a general way, most of the soils are very depleted in terms of nitrogen, especially, and phosphorus. So farmers have to find other ways to try to improve the soil health. And by that, I mean like improving the nutrient status of the soil.
Wonderful. What is the agricultural and food security issue that you are trying to solve in your research?
I'm working on this project in Malawi and trying to improve the soil health of the region. So we are promoting the use of legumes. So it's sustainable intensification with legumes. And in this case, we are promoting the use of pigeon pea in different cropping systems, whether intercrops or sole crops of pigeon pea in the central region of Malawi.
What is sustainable intensification?
One of the main problems that smallholder farmers in Malawi face is very small landholding sizes. So sometimes they have to work on less than a hectare of land. So with sustainable intensification now, it means we are trying to produce more from less. So in this case, it could be more output, more grain, more soil health from this small piece of land. So we're calling it sustainable because we are trying to have many ecosystem services from this small piece of land. That's why you say intensification, because it's such a small piece of land, and yet we are trying to get more out of it.
And how do you achieve that?
So in this case, one of the things we're promoting is intercropping maize, which is the dominant crop in the region, with legumes such as pigeon pea, because pigeon pea is able to biologically fix nitrogen. So when farmers intercrop their maize with pigeon pea, or even what we call doubled up legume cropping systems, whereby two compatible legumes are intercropped together. For example, pigeon pea with groundnut. Those are some of the things we're just trying to promote so that farmers will be able to improve their soil health.
So how do you go by promoting it to the farmer? What is the methodology to promote it to the farmer?
I've been working on this project called Africa Rising, and it stands for Africa Research in Sustainable Intensification for the Next Generation. It's a project that we're having participatory research with smallholder farmers in central Malawi. So what we do is we work with the farmers, and we have many different cropping systems. So it's like a subset of cropping systems that we have. So we showcase the cropping system. So it could be pigeon pea intercropped with groundnut. And then the farmers would see all those cropping systems at a central location. When they do that, then they would choose whichever cropping system they like from the trials that they see. These are farmer-managed trials.
So how do you go by promoting the crops to the farmers?
We are having what we call a mother and baby trial approach. So what we do is we'd have lead farmers in a certain village or location, and they would have fields that are at a central location in a village. So what happens is the lead farmers would have several cropping systems. For example, maize intercropped with pigeon pea or pigeon pea intercropped with groundnut, many different cropping systems, maybe up to 12. So when the other farmers who are part of the project come and see these field trials at the central location, we call them the baby trial farmers. So they would see from this central location whichever cropping system works best for them. And from what they see, then they would adopt what they want from that trial or adapt to what would suit their needs. So that's what we call the mother and baby trial design.
How big is the size of the land?
Most of the smallholder farmers in Malawi have fields that are less than a hectare. The fields are very small. They usually put most of their fields under maize. So it's just a small portion of the land where the legumes would be.
And what are the main findings that you have observed?
So far, we realized that pigeon pea is highly compatible with groundnut in an intercrop, because the biomass, both shoot biomass and root biomass that we measured, they were not so compromised when the two crops were intercropped together. Unlike when pigeon pea is intercropped with maize or soybean. So there was a lot of competition with pigeon pea when the crop was intercropped with maize or soybean.
So based on the finding that you have said that pigeon pea, it grows well with the groundnut.
Yes.
You going to abandon maize and soybean now?
Definitely not. Maize is the dominant crop in this region. It is the staple, so there is no way we could abandon maize. In Malawi, in most sub-Saharan African countries actually, maize is such a dominant crop. And some of these issues that we have with low soil nitrogen, it's because of continuous monocultures of maize. So we will not abandon it, but we are just trying to maybe encourage intercropping with legumes. The maize would still be there.
How does the farmers respond to it?
So most of our farmers would come and they're very interested in this because it could be for mixed reasons. First of all, some of the farmers have goals to improve their soil health, of course. So most of the farmers who I had interviews with were very excited about including pigeon pea into their cropping systems because they wanted to incorporate all the biomass from pigeon pea into their soils so as to improve their soil nitrogen status. And then the other farmers were interested in growing pigeon pea so that they could use the biomass to feed their livestock. And other farmers were even using the stems and twigs of pigeon pea for firewood. So there were many different things that I saw on the field. And yet other farmers are also participating in this project because they get incentives from the project, such as seed and fertilizers. There's a variety of reasons why they participate.
What is the most surprising thing you found?
So far, I was expecting to see significant differences between fields where pigeon pea was intercropped with maize or with other legumes in terms of the soil nitrogen. But we did not find any significant differences in terms of soil nitrogen or even soil carbon. And we think so because the project has only been there for about 3 years now or 4 years. So it takes a long time to improve soil nitrogen. So it was quite disappointing not to see significant results, but I guess it's to be expected because it has been just a short time.
What are the implications of your research for improving agriculture and food security in developing parts of the world?
The main thing that I would like to see from my research is that I would be able to assist farmers in coming up with their own innovations. If they could see what we come up with in terms of cropping systems, they could even design what they really need or what would work for them. It's just improving smallholder farming technologies.
What are the next steps in your research?
I'll be going back to Malawi in a few weeks, and I'll be taking more root and shoot biomass of pigeon pea, and this time of maize as well, and groundnut. A lot of plant biomass that I'll be taking. I'll also take some soil samples from the different cropping systems so that we can measure again the nitrogen this year as well as carbon. I'm looking forward to see some differences this year.
Thank you very much, Chivembo. It was very nice talking with you.
Thank you very much, Ali. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for listening. What other crops do you think could be grown together? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein and myself, Casey Wurst. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day!